Okay, everybody, welcome to a special work session of the board. Tonight, we're going to be talking about how we figure out cost tracking and budget accounting for the ambulance service. Reminder to everybody that the meeting is being recorded. If you'd like to come up and give public comment, we'll certainly have opportunity for that. Please lower your mask, tell us who you are and where you live. Is there any public comment on non-agenda items? Okay, let's get right into it. Jason?
Do you want me to start off?
Yeah, why don't you start off?
Okay.
Give us something to argue about.
Mm-hmm. Precisely.
Okay, so is that working? Since the last meeting, I just put together some common metrics that we could use in tracking costs and revenues for the ambulance service. And I'm sorry, our printer died today, so I couldn't print out copies for you. So what I'm going to do is write them up on the dry erase board, old school style, because it's really all we got at this point. We tried all afternoon to fix the copy machine. Just wasn't working, but this will give me a chance to kind of explain them as I write them out. I'm going to put this here so I don't forget. Make sure I have an alcohol pen. So the first would be the most obvious is the number of EMS calls in our district.
Calls or transports?
Nope. Just, I think we need to have the overall number of EMS calls that we respond to, period. So then we can compare that number to the number of transports that we do and AMR. So if we're going to look at data, we should be looking at how many transports we've given our determinant codes, leaving AMR on the more significant and consequential determinant codes, and us doing the BLS calls, how that shakes out in our system of how many BLS calls versus ALS calls that we have. JJ? Okay. Does that make sense, everybody, to look at those numbers? So we'll be able to look at, and this will also tell us, and again, remember that, you know, we could do this for 12 months, and that's going to be a snapshot of data, but please don't ever think that that's going to be what it's going to be next year or the year after. There's a lot of variability in all of this. After 5 years, we'll have some decent data to look at and see what the trends are. But from year to year, we could have totally different numbers on the number of ALS calls versus BLS calls, because that's just a moving target. Yes?
Is there another category for other transports? If Bozeman comes in because AMR can't, or we can't, or Central Valley comes?
Yeah, we could do that as AMR and any others.
Okay.
Yep. But we'll definitely look at how many transports we do versus anybody else in our district. Yep, so we have that number to look at. So then we'll have a pretty standard metric of resident transports versus non-resident transports. That's a number that we've talked about. It'll have a bearing on our billing schedule potentially. And again, after the first year, that's I wouldn't take that as gospel, because it could be different next year. It's just we need years of data to really have that be super meaningful. And then we'll track. So, you know, this whole medical supply thing has been very difficult for us to wrap our arms around, because we have four engines, we have a QRU, we have three command vehicles. They're all equipped with EMS kits, and BLS medical kits. So how do we really try to get this cost of the transport piece versus other? The easiest formula I can come up with is we're just going to collect the cost of supplies for any transport that we do. So that means even if they took a piece of medical equipment off of an engine, if we ended up doing the transport, we're going to lump all that equipment into that call and call that a transport cost of doing business. It's still going to be a little rich, but it's as close as we can get. It's just impossible for me to try to separate out what equipment would Highlight Fire have used historically on scene versus what AMR would have historically used in the back of the ambulance on the way to the hospital. It's just impossible. So I'll make that number. We'll track it. Again, it'll be a little on the rich side, but again, from a medical supply standpoint, I don't think it's going to make a huge difference one way or the other. But it'll be more than less.
Point of clarification. So the supplies that are used off of one of the engines that results in a transport by AMR would not be included in that number, is that?
Correct.
Okay.
Because that would be what we do today. Right. Yeah, that would be just what we're doing today. So no effect in us doing a transport as a result. Yeah, that would have no bearing on that.
I think if board members have questions, just raise your hand for Jason.
Yeah, please. Any clarification as I go through this.
Nick, did you have something?
No, I just want to encourage full mic use because of the people listening in.
Oh, game show hosted.
There you go.
Well, that's a little short. Okay, so the next one will be the mileage and how we come up with the calculation for the mileage. So I did the actual measurements from this fire station. Remember I explained at the last meeting, so this fire station to Bozeman Deaconess Hospital was 4.3 miles. So we'll call it a round trip of 8.6 miles. So every call will get that cost associated of 8.6 miles. So then we do the calculus of the federal reimbursement rate, which is higher than the state's reimbursement rate, at 57.5 cents per mile, which comes out to a grand total of $4.95 per transport. We will put that as the cost of every transport we do. But that is the mileage calculation. And if anybody has a better calculation, please let me know, but I'm just using the federal one. And that does include trucks and large vehicles. We will include in tracking all maintenance costs. And that'll be for both the ambulance and all the equipment on the ambulance. So if we have a defibrillator problem or we have a suction device problem or whatever, we will clock that all into one category and track every expense, new tires, brakes, whatever it may be. We'll track every piece of maintenance cost on the ambulance, period. Then if we do this, we'll track the stipends for the volunteer. So that'll just be in a standard cost for whatever we do. And I just threw this in, any other costs. Because it may be hard to know today what costs may be associated with doing transport, and we don't know, but we will make sure to track any costs associated with doing the transport, no matter what it may be. Then we'll, of course, track, you know, all the total billing that we do. So the total amount that we're billing and receivables. And what I was hoping to do with Leslie is just have her print out a quarterly report for the board of all the billing that's happened, all the revenues that we've received, and where she would rate our success, and kind of give us an A, a B, a C, or a D based on how she feels we are doing with that. Because again, like I explained, in ambulance billing, you know, for the month of January, we may bill out X amount of dollars, but some of that money may come in soon, as she explained at the last meeting. Some, like if it was from the VA, maybe 3 months out. So she'll be able to give us that report. And I think that third party report is exactly what she is there for. And those are the metrics that I see as being the most reasonable metrics that we can collect to help answer Steve's questions about what this could cost versus what the revenues are and what's important to us to look at as trends in our service.
Let's switch, Jason.
Yep.
Jason, how do we measure or track the percentage that the billing company gets? Are we taking total amount that we bill out and subtracting that, or how do you, I'm not...
Yeah, I mean, Leslie would basically make a report that said, you know, we, you know, whether it was, you know, whatever our billing schedule is, we bill this amount of money, and these are our receivables, so you're at 60% collection rate, or you're at 62% collection rate. And then she'll be able to explain in those numbers too, but in the next 2 months, you should expect to see more of this. So again, they're the ones that will be able to tell us if we're doing well or we're doing average or we're doing poorly with that. Because I think that's what the board really wants to know is...
I asked the question poorly. The cost, that we, the money we give the billing company for their services.
Yeah.
How does... Do we take our total and make that a cost then? Their 20% or 8% or whatever it was?
8%.
The 8%
yep.
rate? Is that then a cost, or are we just tracking the bills minus 8%?
I think that's going to be a difficult cost to track other than an annual basis, because it's 8% of what's actually collected. So if we collect nothing, we pay nothing. So I think that's something that maybe 6 months or 12 months to look at what the total cost is that we have paid to Pittler Billing.
Other board members?
Yeah, I guess the question I have, so this is basically a partial budget approach to look at the additional costs that are going to be incurred as a result of the transport. But the question that still remains in my mind, that partial budgeting approach doesn't necessarily result in something, a number that can be utilized for arriving at a justification for billing rates, unless we're just going to look at a billing rate that solely reflects only the partial budget additional costs associated with this enterprise. And I understand where Steve would like to make sure that we're almost going down a road that's going to result in having two cost calculations, one related to billing justification and one related to this partial budget cost consideration for the additional amount of resources utilized above and beyond what's currently being used. So I guess my question is, are we going to create a billing rate that's based solely on this partial budget amount, or are we going to create a billing amount based on full costs that are associated with the EMS services, I guess, is where I'm going with that.
Well, I guess my short answer to that's a question that the board has to answer for itself. I mean, the cost that is to be charged to the customer is widely variable. There isn't necessarily, ambulance transport fees don't have to necessarily be based on real costs of service. If that was true, then AMR couldn't exist as a for-profit entity. They're doing it at a profit. I would suggest that you would have Leslie counsel you guys in how to best set up a billing and fee schedule for ambulance transport. And I think she brought up some very good points about the downsides of a really low number being leaving insurance money on the table that is there. We're not saving the customer money, we're saving the insurance company money, which I don't think is the goal of the trustees. But I really would suggest that Leslie be the one to counsel you on developing the fee scheduling.
I guess there was a second part to my question too that I forgot to. One cost component I don't see on the list is depreciation of the ambulance, capital depreciation for the ambulance.
Well, in our, we can do that if you would like, but we're in the plan that Steve had put together, we're already contributing to capital replacement. So I'm not sure if you need to do that twice. But that's, again, at your discretion. I mean, it's completely at your discretion. You guys get to decide what you want to track and what you don't.
Regarding the cost justification for billing, I think that takes us down a road we don't want to go to. Because my observation is the marginal costs of this are essentially so low that we ought to be giving it away for free. This was Steve's point last time, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason, and that was my initial, way back when we started this conversation, I asked Jason, why are you even charging for this? Because it's reasonable and customary to charge for ambulance services, and there is a contribution to the capital replacement fund that I think makes a great deal of sense. I think when Leslie sends us the template, she talked about the spreadsheet of what other departments are charging, and we see where those departments are, that'll be very helpful. But I think you're a step ahead of where we want to go tonight, and that is making sure we're getting comfortable with the costs that we want to track. And not on your list, but you've referenced it, so is it still in your mind that we're making these contributions to the capital account vis-a-vis Steve's spreadsheet? So that's
part. Again, that's up to the board to accept his recommendation in the spreadsheet, but yeah.
So I guess, yeah, that is my, so our sole goal then is to look at this from a partial budgeting standpoint, to look at the additional cost. That's all we're looking at.
Right. I mean, cost justification, I don't even know where you go, because your point about AMR being a for-profit thing, it's like this piece of suction tube costs you 5 cents. We're going to charge the customer 15 cents. I mean, that's a totally arbitrary thing. And until somebody like the insurance company says, wait a second, that reimbursement rate's out of whack. I mean, there's got to be a reasonable and customary and standard fee for ambulance services. This is not new stuff. We don't have to reinvent that wheel.
Yeah, and that's why I suggest having Leslie counsel you guys in that, because this is what her business does.
Right. And I think the goal that we're trying to get to tonight is to get the board comfortable with the development of the metrics that are on us behind the board that we want to track going forward that are A, meaningful, so we learn something about it from an operational perspective, and B, not so down in the weeds that it's driving our staff crazy. Larry, can you hear okay?
You bet. You're doing good.
Okay, thanks. So, more board discussion.
The one thing, I'll just make sure the board understands also, and I completely agree.
Can you just lower your mask, Brian? Thanks.
Certainly. The ambulance supports the overall fire department operation. That rolls on more than just medical calls. That's where we put a family, you know, when we're fighting the fire of their house, or we're checking their house for a gas leak and the cars are parked in the garage and they can't get them out. So more just a clarification for you guys to understand that. I agree with tracking the maintenance of it, but that is used on more than just a medical.
More board questions. Nick?
Yes, speaking of that point, Brian, if we only have one ambulance, then that ambulance goes out to do the EMS or goes out on all the calls, and then the mileage that we're talking about probably needs to be tracked. Maybe all of the mileages of the ambulance, so that then when they're actually doing the transport, then the transport mileage gets tracked. I think it is a dual use vehicle, and that brings to the point as to what happens if it's transporting when in fact you need another quick response vehicle. But I think you answered that, maybe the fact that every truck and every vehicle can be used for a quick response vehicle. And so you don't worry about one overriding the other. And if you're on transport, the guy's still filling out paperwork, have another accident, you need a QRC. So I'm assuming in that case, the ambulance is in the BLS transport mode. Its mileage from the scene of where it was, if it went there originally in the first place for a QRC, the original, then it's going to transport from there to the hospital and then back to the station, but it's only from there to the hospital, which is a loaded mile that could be tracked. So it seems to me our things up here, which are some very good things, ought to reflect that. So I think inherently you have to start keeping track of all the calls for that vehicle and to track the mileage as well as purpose so that we know. And that will also be necessary data to have in the future when you do the Medicare survey. And we'd be ahead of the game on that.
More board conversation. Maybe we'll take an opportunity for public comment then. Any public comment on the conversation?
Hey there, everyone. Steve White, 3800 Blackwood Road. Short comment. Excellent. Thank you very much, Jason. Well done.
Pat?
Pat Wilson, 162 Meadowlark. I'll finally give in a comment for you, please. I think this is a good start. I think up until now, all of this has been based on anecdotal guessing and what you're doing, and I think, you know, if you're going to bill Medicare, bill Pat, bill Walt, bill anybody, I don't want an anecdotal bill, I want numbers. So I talked to a friend of mine who lives in Greenville, Idaho, that is still working on the ambulance service that I spent 17 years on, and he got his 40-year certificate 3 years ago, and he's still going. But one thing I asked him if they're still doing is that they have a logbook in the ambulance that tracks every time that ambulance moves. And it tracks date, time out, time in, the crew, the destination, the patient, the code, oxygen, fuel. And I guess through this whole thing, I don't know that this information isn't on highlight apparatus, but I've never heard it referenced. We guess about we've done this, we guess we've done that, we think we've done that. And if I called my friend Bill in Gainesville, he would have left the logbook, and in 10 minutes he'd tell me exactly every mile that was on that ambulance in the last year and where it went and what it was built for. And it's not that hard of a thing to do. So, and then, you know, with the mileage rate, the $4.95, I know there was some discussion last week about retraining EMTs to punch odometer buttons. If you're paying them $50 a run, times two, that's $100. And in my old world of the Forest Service and EMS, the round wasn't done until the paperwork was done. And, you know, if you go to Highlight Reservoir, it's going to cost more than $4.95. If you come to my house, it's going to cost more Medicare bills on loaded miles. So before I came down here tonight, I just typed in my address to Bozeman Deaconess Hospital, and it gave me three different routes down to the tenth of the mile. And I don't know why that couldn't be done at the end of a run. So again, you're guessing at mileage, you're selling yourself short if you go out to Four Corners, if you go up to Highlight, and it's just not that hard to do as part of the run. So, you know, keeping in mind what Leslie said, the one department that was struggling was the one that wasn't keeping track of the small details. And I would agree with what Steve said last week and what Walt's kind of asking right now is that right now I don't see anything that would justify me getting or paying a $500 bill. Show me what the costs are. The only other last question of these are all hypothetical querying. Rhetorical, I'm not expecting an answer because public law doesn't let you guys do it. But I guess a question for your capital replacement is how many ambulances are you replacing? Because when this all started in March, you talked about buying a new ambulance and then you talked about upgrading the current one. So, is this a one ambulance fleet or a two ambulance fleet that we're talking about? Okay.
Thanks, Pat. Just a couple of things. Happy to respond to some of that stuff. So
I'm not asking you.
No, I know, but it might be informative for Larry. He's on the phone. When we talked about the mileage thing, I think you were at the meeting where Jason said, you know, you get an EMS call, you're not exactly sure what it's going to be, so the ambulance gets dispatched to it. It's going anyway, no matter what. And what we were trying to get our head around is the marginal cost. So you get there, and you don't have to transport. That's not part of the game. For whatever reason, it turns out to be a gas leak, so there are people sitting in your ambulance, this dual-use thing. Then it comes right back to the station. Is that really something we should track? Because that's just a call in the normal course of business. What we were trying to get at is, you do go to that call, and it is a transport thing, so what's the difference? At the additional difference, and this is where I just think we're chasing our tails on this. It's not worth, my opinion, not worth worrying so much about it. So the difference would be, now you're transporting somebody from your house to Bozeman Deaconess and back to the station. That's what we were trying to figure out, right? So you see the difference there. It's not just a straight, it's up to Four Corners and back. It was the sort of, now you've got the ambulance doing the transport versus going out there as part of the normal course of business. I lost my train of thought. What was your other question?
Capital replacement.
Oh, the capital replacement. So yeah. this vehicle was going to get replaced no matter what, and it will still serve. I guess what I'm a little frustrated, not with any individual, but I'm just frustrated in our either our inability to articulate it clearly or to think about it clearly. This ambulance was scheduled for capital replacement. It goes on all these calls anyway, and I just, as I've told Nick many, many times, I just don't see where the additional expense is worth worrying about. Now you ask, well, you've got to justify, this is back to this cost justification question. If you're going to charge me $500, I have to know it costs something. Well, if we don't provide you that service, AMR is going to cost you $2,000, and you're not going to ask them for a cost justification, right? That doesn't seem to be an apple-to-apples comparison. So this board member would be totally happy if this board decided to say, it's just free of charge. It's just like, we don't charge you to come out and put your fire out or get your cat out of the crate. Now, Steve made some really good points on Jason, said if once you start down that road of no fee, man, it is hard to change that. So overall, I'm persuaded that we can come up with a fee structure that greatly benefits district residents. And by that I mean, if we were not providing this transport, if you were relying on AMR, if you had to be transported to the hospital, it would be a heck of a lot more expensive for them to do it than for us to do it. And I do think that the justification to help us offset our capital costs, which we keep telling you again and again and again, we're making great progress on, but we're still not there. We're still way behind in terms of capital replacement. For this board member, is a compelling reason to figure out a charging scheme that will be very favorable to district residents, meaning way below the market cost of what a private ambulance service would charge you. More board member conversation.
Well, can I clarify?
Sure, come right back up, Pat, everybody can hear you.
Just a clarification. When I talked about the logbook and this, you know, if you want to figure out your operating costs, you have something like this sitting in the center console of your ambulance. You know, every time it moves, that's your operating costs for up there. When you go to bill Medicare, if you do something simple like this, this breaks out the mileage. And this will tell you exactly what your operating costs are. This will tell you how much you transport, how much you do training, how much you do sit families inside while you look for gas leaks and all that stuff. So, and it's not that hard. It takes literally minutes or less. And, you know, it doesn't run people around. It takes a little bit of getting used to because it's there. But you can track mileage, you can track your operating costs, and then you've got your billing costs that can come up separate. And it's very quick and easy. And just my only response to the thing about AMR, don't think for a second that I wouldn't call and ask him for a justification.
All right, more board member conversation.
Hey, if I could just address Pat. Pat, there's just no question that we are absolutely going to have to measure mileage, whether that's through Google Maps or otherwise, from Pat Wilson's house to the hospital for billing purposes. Again, this is serving a slightly different function, which is trying to give the board and the taxpayers an idea of what this new service is costing the operation. above and beyond what we've done in the past, but we will absolutely have to track. And I actually like your logbook idea. That's kind of a cool idea. I've never done that anywhere I worked on an ambulance, and it's actually kind of a cool idea. Because
I did it when I left there in 1995, and it had been in place.
Yeah, I think it's actually a cool idea. I like it.
Okay, just in the interest of making sure Larry on the phone can hear, we'll just use the microphones instead of going back and forth.
Well, just to like to add one component to the capital replacement discussion, and obviously, you know, we've stated that the ambulance was going to be replaced regardless, right? That was already in our capital replacement plan, and so there is a, for the transport component, this partial budgeting question. Once we know that mileage, you know, whether it's through the logbook or however we calculate the miles of a transport, and then the aggregate of all those transports, the component that's related to depreciation, in theory, I mean, we're going to buy the machine, we're going to use the machine for a lot of other types of calls, and the component that's at question right now is that marginal cost associated with transport. And so the proxy really is that 57.5 cents, because that does, in theory, it's supposed to capture some of the depreciation associated with that mile of use. And again, you could argue that maybe an ambulance has a higher rate of use, you know, depreciation than say a pickup truck or something like that. So you could argue about the number there, but it is a proxy that captures that marginal component associated with the transport, and we still would have the other uses that are in theory incorporated into our capital replacement plan. So if you have a set of, you know, say you do 50 transports in a year, that's obviously going to depreciate that machine at a faster rate than our depreciation schedule would have originally allocated for. So, but that proxy, that mileage amount should capture that depreciation component.
I have a quick, Steve, what did we put down for capital replacement annual contribution to the billing? I thought it was 12.
The amount.
12,000.
It was dependent upon number of calls. $12,000.
Right, so it starts at 12. So ironically, I just did the cost of the ambulance, did a 10-year life on the ambulance, divided the cost by 10, and it's $12,500. So we're really, and that's 12,000. I mean, that's money we're not having to pay out of our current capital replacement. So that was good numbers, Steve.
Strong work. We have 200. And it goes up to 24,000. So we have 12, 18, 24. And also, for the record, I agree completely with that. And that 57 cents a mile, indeed, as Walt says, that everything's built into it, because that isn't what it costs to run a mile in a car. It's oil, gas, wear and tear, tires, everything about it. They're paying you back for the use of that car, and they're saying, can't make it a 57 cents a mile, you know, something wrong. Something.
Must be driving a Tesla or something. JJ, and then
yeah, who's going to pay for those roads? I'm sorry.
Clarification, is the current QR, is QRU6 going into reserve status, or is it going away?
It's going into reserve status. And so to Pat's point about, you know, will keeping the old ambulance QRU6 change our current capital replacement plan? And my answer would be no. Currently, in my mind, unless something drastically changes, we will replace the new ambulance we buy in 10 years, and then it will go into reserve status. So we don't need to be contributing more dollars. Now, if we end up needing two frontline ambulances, then yes, that will completely change that equation.
Nick?
Speaking of the mileage of 57.5, I think, if you look at mileage rates, and FEMA uses the FEMA rates as well, various vehicles have different rates, and I think that the ambulance is not necessarily just 57 cents like a passenger car. So that, you know, it's a number that could be adjusted to the appropriate one if you needed to. But I do have a AO425 BLS ambulance rate for Montana, and the current urban rate, urban mileage, quoted in here is $7.62 a mile.
That's, is that a billing rate?
That's the urban rate for HCPS code search, and that's those codes, hospital codes.
So for billing.
And that's what, for this region and for this contractor, in this area, in this region, for BLS is 762, and for ALS, that's the ambulance itself. The BLS mileage rate is 762. So there are rates in the state that are directed to ambulances, so that number, probably whatever the mileage turns out to be, that's the loaded mile. I think there's a bigger number than that, which could be just the right number filled in. I mean, that's all we'd have to put in.
Yeah, but those are billing rates. That's not a cost. That's a billing rate. That's, you set a base rate and then you bill per mile, and that's a billing rate, which is not the same as what it costs us to operate the ambulance. So it's just two different things.
57.5 rate from the federal government is a billing rate as well.
No, it's a reimbursement rate. It's
reimbursement.
Yeah, rate. It's different.
So this is, you're using that as a cost rate for the ambulance.
It's what was recommended, because I don't know any other way to do a per mile cost of use for the vehicle, because we're not billing ourselves. We that's the difference. This is what the federal government would reimburse us to use a truck or a van to, you know, it's not a billing rate. Billing rates are different.
The actual...
One second. Larry, you may be near your microphone, but we're getting some heavy breathing coming from you. I know this is exciting. Nick, were you finished?
Well... Yeah, on that point, I think I have another question, but JJ,
are you ready, JJ?
Yeah, FEMA is paying for an ambulance $28 an hour. They don't even have a mileage.
Nick, something else?
What we're working toward here, and I think what Jason's put up, is good stuff for, again, a marginal system, marginal cost system. I think even using the marginal cost system, and I'm happy to use it, as I said, if we're billing, if we're not going to bill, then I think we should do that. But there are other costs that are coming out of that marginal cost system. And I guess the question is, it's sort of like a consensus, is that Jason's going to be the administrator of this, and Cheryl's going to have to do a lot of things around the ambulance stuff. So I'm suggesting that their cost of their work on those issues really needs to be part of that list. They need to keep track on a monthly basis of how many hours they put toward the transport part of it. Now, I realize that's more data taking, and that's, but it is, as Steve once said, it's those details in terms of costing that we really get down to what it really is that we need to track. And so if you're going to make the decision to do a marginal system, what the marginal system is doing is using existing funds. And we can do that without billing, but then what would happen is that our cost for our apparatus would not be as much available for that. And so a way to make up that, of course, then is to bill and collect funds and put back in again. So I just think when we all start talking about the two sets of books, I think that's still the way we need to go. I think we really need to be decided if we're going to build, we really ought to be doing a true enterprise system. And then that doesn't mean include, it's going to, the cost of keeping an ambulance or things can be figured out Maybe it's a bare a square foot cost of the station. If you take all of the depreciation, the mortgage on this building, everything in lights, everything related to running the station, put it for a year, divide it up on a square foot basis, and then assign that square foot base that the ambulance is taking, and account for that most of the time it's being used for QRC, but it could be also used for the transport. I think we could get at a closer number that really is showing a truer cost of what this really is. So that's still my suggestion.
But Nick, that ambulance is going to be sitting out there regardless. So what you're really, the cost you're really trying to get at is everything you've just described divided by the number of calls where there actually are transports done. That would get the number that you're going, because you're again, you're looking at the marginal cost analysis. It's not fair to allocate everything you just described, heat, lights, whatever, to a piece of apparatus that would be here regardless. We wouldn't do that if we were not talking about transport, right? We just wouldn't do that. So really, the number that you're trying to get at is all that stuff divided by the number of transports that happen in a year. And I just think it's infinitesimally small, that number. It's just not worth it. I'm happy to throw some more money into the capital like we've talked about a number of times, just increase that contribution to account for it. But I just don't. Am I thinking about that incorrectly?
I do not disagree.
I agree. Yeah, with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I guess it goes down to me, it's the question, if we're trying to ascertain the marginal cost of transports, that's one question, and I think that's what Jason's trying to, the points that he has listed and enumerated here provide for those, the metrics that would give us that marginal cost. But to ask what the whole enterprise would be, I mean, that's a whole different thing that you're asking there. So it seems, if the question that we're asking is the costs associated with transports, and I think Jason has enumerated those potential costs, and we just have to apply numbers to them. And I think you do make a point. I mean, at the margin, if there are time resource allocations associated with transport and data management of transport, you know, maybe we can assign a percentage or something. That's probably, at the margin, a realistic contribution from a marginal cost standpoint to that specific transport question. And so there's probably some merit to that, and whether, you know, we could just assign a percentage or something.
Rather than tracking that time.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think we have to be careful what the question that we're asking. Are we asking a full enterprise budgeting question, or are we asking this marginal cost question related to transports? And if we're asking the marginal cost question related to transports, then I think Jason's list pretty much covers that, with the exception of maybe some administrative costs that could be assigned to that at the margin.
Yeah, and I don't really think it's worth wrestling that question to the ground right now. We're not covering in granite. And if in 6 months, Cheryl and Brian and Jason are like, you know what, we have spent 50% of our day screwing around with stuff related to transport, we need to make an adjustment. But trying to nail that tack to the wall right now might just be a fool's errand. I think, you know, you start with the marginal analysis that we've been talking about. We get into it, like you've said, Nick, let's try it for a year. We're going to learn really quickly whether or not this is a huge burden. I'm really curious to see what Leslie, with the information she provides, I think that would be very helpful to the board in terms of what other departments are doing. And then we like everything, we just adjust and adapt as we learn more about this thing. But to get ourselves spun around the axle at the initial stage. I mean, Steve's model, everybody, we all agree that that's probably 65 or 75% accurate, but that's good enough for now, for this first year.
Right.
Rather than sitting here and trying to really nail this down, I think we're just going to spin. And I'm happy with what Jason's put up there. I think the marginal accounting is the way to start this rather than an enterprise software. I don't like the idea of keeping two books, talk about increasing administrative costs and headaches for our accountants. So that's my opinion on it. More board discussion. Nick?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think we're going to do the marginal cost, and it is two different things. We do one or do the other. If you're going to do the marginal cost with the billing, that's fine too, and we can come up with the right rates. But I think it would be wise to track the administrative costs, the chief's costs, and whatever costs that maintenance and or supplies or whatever that goes to that. And so that would be a reasonable, even if we don't use it in the data now, it would at least give the board a chance to know how much of these valuable resources, these two or three people sitting there, is going to the transport side. That's a number I would really kind of like to know about. And I can tell you by experience that I've talked several hours with the chief and we've been to several things, and his time has been used on that and his time is valuable. He has got a lot of other work to do on the other side of it. So I think that's a number worth tracking. And I think if we could do that, that would be very helpful in the long run. And no, we do not have to pin everything to the point right now.
Larry, do you want to make any public comment? You've been very patient there for almost an hour on the phone.
Well, I have a couple questions, but I don't know if they're pertinent to what you're talking about now. Mine is this a transport just in the fire district, or is it all over the county? And if so, how many more people you got to hire? Are your volunteers qualified to run this ambulance, or do you have to hire to pay people to do it?
Thanks, sir. I'm going to let our chief Jason answer that question.
Yeah, so we will be hiring no additional employees for this service. All of our volunteers are qualified. They're all certified EMTs, and so they're all certified and prepared to perform this service. And what was his first question?
Are we going to the county?
Oh, so at this time, no, we would just be doing transport within our district or assisting with mutual aid to other jurisdictions that provide mutual aid to us in kind.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Larry. And Larry, can we have your last name and address for the record?
Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, 8242 Huffine Lane.
Thank you very much. Any more public comment? More board discussion?
Not too much discussion, but I think there's three letters that have been sent in, at least I got my mailbox, and I'll send to be read into the record, and then public comment can make for tonight's meeting, so other people could hear.
Yeah, I saw those all those emails, and I'm sure we'll reply to all the recipients, letting them know that those were received, and I think just including them in the record is sufficient rather than reading them. All the board members got a chance to see that and hear that, and they'll be included in the next board packet. Any more board discussion?
Did Steve see those letters, hear those letters? Did Pat hear them? There are probably people there. Did they hear that public record? That's...
I'm satisfied to see them in the record as part of the next board meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
May I ask one more
question? Sure.
It sounds like that we have a billing agent. Has Pittler been hired, or are we still going out for, are there other agencies that we have competitive proposals for, or anything like that?
We have not contracted with Pittler Billing.
More board discussion. So I think where we are on this is, obviously no decisions tonight. It seems like everybody's okay with the criteria that Jason has put up on the board, which I think, Walden, correct me if I get this wrong, I think really represents an attempt to capture the marginal cost, which sounds like a reasonable place to start. Again, I think when we should just not do anything until Leslie comes back to us with her spreadsheet of information, which again, I'm really hopeful Luke will be very helpful. And Jason, do you have any idea when that might be coming to us? Cheryl does.
I reached out to Leslie for it, and she said that's usually provided after a contract is signed.
Okay.
So it's something that's more proprietary for her.
So has she submitted a contract for our consideration?
She has.
She has. And so that will be an item on the next board meeting agenda in December.
Yep.
Okay. And then so realistically, we'll have that, if we sign a contract with her, we'll have that information in January?
Correct.
Okay. Well.
And just as a matter of clarification then too, so once we have that information, this next meeting will also include the discussion on billing rates then, is that correct?
Precisely. And I think again that our conversation will be really well informed by having that information from Leslie. More board, any more board discussion?
Question, are we going to try to start this trial period this year, 1st of January? Why can't we? We don't have to. Well, I don't know. I just don't know why. We've got the equipment to do it and so forth. Maybe a better way to ask is when are we going to start the one-year trial?
When we're ready. I mean, honestly, like we have to make sure that we get all of our staff trained for the portion of this, which is the hospital portion, where they're giving patient reports to the hospital, dropping off patients at the hospital, making sure we have everybody ready to go. We need to have this billing system in place before we go. I'd really like to have the new ambulance in place before we start. We're already being compelled to do transport as it is, but I'm not ready to take AMR off some of our run cards until we are fully prepared to go. So I don't think this is a venture that we do until we're fully prepared to do it. So I don't have an absolute date in mind. I think I told Pete 3 to 6 months is from when the board first approved it. This is definitely something we want to make sure that we have our ducks in a row and are doing it correctly.
Okay. And one further question. The sheet that's sort of going to be the log, I guess, that you put out last time, is a sample for October. Is that typically what we're going to have? For...
Yeah. I mean, once we start doing the transport, you'll be getting much more information than just
right.
that.
And so I'm just curious for October, just for fun. It shows a rescue medical service of 5.1%, fire calls 3.92, which is what everybody's been saying, well, we do way more medical. Of the 23 calls for the month of October, how many of those were BLS transports? Were there any BLS transports in that period?
You mean that we did or that anybody
did? This is Highlight Fire Department, so yeah, it's for Highlight Fire did this 23 rescue emergency service calls. Were there any BLS transports in that?
Yes, I just don't have the graph in front of me. Brian?
Yeah, I have to run the report to see what exact, or sorry, keep forgetting that. I have to run the report and understand that that number is represented by our interest data. So that is all medical calls, all car accidents, non-injury car accidents. So that number represents a lot.
And yeah, but out of curiosity, I think it's great data. I think it gives an idea, but I'm just wondering out of curiosity, if there were some BLS transports in that month.
Oh, more likely. I just don't know.
And how many, if I had a question, was it? And would that also be something that could be included in this? Because I assume this would be a regular monthly report once the ambulance services, or even now, could start being used all the time. I think it'd be a good thing to have on the web. People could see what's happening.
Yeah, but it'll be a different report that you get. It'll be a much more, it'll have all of this information. What?
But including this.
We can include that.
It just seems to me like a great report. It shows the variety and length and variety of the type of all the calls we make.
Yeah, but it's a pretty general report.
Yeah, it's general, but yeah. We can get the specifics out of it. So.
Okay. If there's no more public comment,
before you adjourn,
yeah.
Well, are we before we adjourn? I guess it is a discussion and decision. Does the board need to provide, or does staff request any direction with regard to which way we're moving? Any decisions that need to be made before we adjourn?
I mean, the board could decide to accept my proposal for the metrics to be measured if they wanted to.
Is there a general sense of the board that we're going to accept Jason's recommendations for the metrics to be measured?
Yep.
With the additions we talked about for other things that we talked about should be added to that.
Yeah, I think what we should have at the next, as part of the next board packet is some sort of formalized, I don't know if you put in spreadsheet or whatever, but this list, and including like I think you're talking about like the contribution to the capital replacement fund, those sorts of things.
That, administrative hours, whatever it is that's going to go with our transport that we can identify is coming out of this on a marginal cost basis, because that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and I don't know how to tackle administrative costs. I mean,
I guess my suggestion would be to put it, if we're going to have a spreadsheet, put it in the spreadsheet as a line item, and we will just have to, it's going to be a bit of a wag initially, but put it in as a line item that's been enumerated, and we're just going to have to, it's going to be a bit of a wag to come up with what that percentage is of personnel costs.
Right. I mean,
associated with that.
I'll take a very low percentage number, and then it's going to be a qualitative measure. I mean, like I said earlier, we're going to know pretty quickly from you three what the administrative burden is on this.
Well, and I would be very cautious in putting a dollar amount on that. I'm an exempt employee. You're not pulling that money from some other source. If you want to track, if you want me to give you a general idea of how many hours a week that I spend on this, I would be very cautious putting a dollar amount on that.
I wouldn't put a dollar amount on it. I would just do it as a time call.
Yeah.
I don't think dollars help us at this point.
Mr. Chairman, can I just make a quick comment?
Sure.
Steve White, I did not file a copyright on my spreadsheet, so feel free to use it. I think you've got the, I think I sent you an Excel version, not a Mac version. So if it helps you to assemble that stuff, and go ahead.
I already sold it to Facebook. It's out there. It's done.
Well, it's your lawsuit with Facebook later on.
Is there any other board direction that's required with regard to getting Pintler billing or some other billing, so we can get the data?
What we need to do before we get the data from Pintler is decide whether or not we want to execute a contract. So before we can decide that, we need to see the contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have it. We'll just include that.
Right. In your packet. So the next meeting's Tuesday the 15th, just as a reminder. That's still looking good for everybody. Great. Okay, thanks everybody for coming. We're adjourned. Thanks, Larry.